let's do some follow-up work, some cleanup work. First of all, incentive. We all know that the Cancun incentive is coming to its close. This is our last week to qualify. Do we have any panic, anxietous people on the phone? Okay, that I like that better. Scotch. That shows, you know, that is a true sign of some great self-development. He goes, I don't come from anxiety. I don't come from panic. I come from pure persistence, perseverance, determination, and that's how I operate my life. Wonderful. You don't know what a huge statement that is, but it's gigantic. So everybody learn from that because that's a good one. Great. A determined person. Kathy, okay. There you go. That's it. So sign up for that date. Yeah. I love it. That's great. Well, I'm looking forward to you on the catamaran. That's wonderful. Super. You're going to do the cat too? Good. We'll have to have a cat sign up. It's next week. We'll do that. The cat sign up. Great. Anyone else? What? You betcha. You betcha. Yeah, we have, it looks like 26 people from our organization that are winning, so that's great. It could be some more surprises that come up, but we have a very, very good group, so I'm excited about that. Not as many as we had last year, but it's still a great group of people, so. And a lot of new people, brand new people, which is kind of fun. I like that. I like to see people get on board and really make it happen, so. Good, good. All right, so, but everybody who's, you know, if you're still not there, again, just step into it and do it. And maybe today's talk will help you come to that conclusion and help you move forward and making that thing happen for you. So it's just a matter of making a commitment and putting your intent right, and mechanisms will appear everywhere. So we just know that. The second thing I want to talk about is Codex and all this information coming down about getting rid of nutritional supplements that only pharmacists or only doctors will be able to prescribe, and all the threats that have been around with the Codex laws being passed in Europe, and what's that mean for the United States. And of course, I don't ever want to ever downplay the power of the pharmaceutical industry in this country. It is huge. It is so big, it's not even something that we can fathom. They make so much money, and they have so much dollars poured into lobbyists, and they're so manipulative in everything that they do. So we can't ever underplay that. But I think what's important, I've gotten a number of emails from people asking me, what's your opinion, what to do? Of course, we're canvassing lots of people, and we're getting people to write their senators and all that kind of stuff. But the neat thing that's coming up is on this Tuesday, there's a leadership call for people who are two-star nationals and above. And I'm just suggesting that everybody get on that call. It's a special call that Sam is hosting with reference to Codex, what it means, and I think it's going to give people a lot of insight into where this is going. For those of you who don't qualify to be on Manatech's leadership calls as of yet, because you haven't hit that leadership level, I'm going to be out of town, but we plan on listening to it and then putting a write-up on it. So we will get you some information out, giving you a review of what that call's all about. That doesn't mean those of you who qualify shouldn't be on the call, because you might get a totally different understanding from what I write up, but the important thing is that you participate. That's what I want you to do, is make sure you get on the call, participate, and it'll give you a chance for question answers too if you have some specific questions to ask of Sam Castor. So, really critical Tuesday leadership call this week, Tuesday. And for those who qualify to be on that call, you should have gotten an email from Manatech regarding the time and the telephone number and all that information. Okay, so next, the Ambertos AO study. I sent that out to everybody last week because I thought it was such a great opportunity, and there's so many ways you can use it. We actually, in our group, we have 12 people that write mana mails every month, and we're going to make it part of our monthly newsletter that goes out to all our prospects and new associates, and to really bring out the clarity of how critical it is for us to have AO in our life every day of our life. And I'm just suggesting, if you have some mechanism where you notify your downline, or just do a separate cover letter that goes out to everybody in regards to that, to get that information in their hands. I think it's a great piece of information to get to your, you know, prospects, get to new associates who aren't on AO today. They might only be taking Ambertos. A lot of this can apply to, for some of you, associates who've been in Manatech for 10 years, 8 years, 6 years, who never got on the Ambertos AO when it first came out, which was almost, 3 years now? It'll be 3 years in September, I believe. So keep an eye open for those. For those of you who have been in Manitech a while, you might want to look back at your downline and make sure that this information gets to in all of their hands. It's a great piece of information. It shows in vivo's increase in antioxidant protection and free radical protection by like 36%, I believe, is what the statistic was in the material. So use that, and you can copy a copy of that report that was published. Everybody got that in an email from me last week. So again, tap into it. It's a great resource to get in the hands of new people, of people you've had in your downline for a long time, getting people to add AO to their automatic order if they're not taking it today. The other thing I wanted to bring up, we had a controversy about saran wrap, and I don't know if anyone was in Denver, I believe that's where it came out. Somebody made the statement that you can't use saran wrap, or, you know, because when you talk about putting Freddy's mud on a surface, some kind of, you know, subcutaneous wound, you put Freddy's mud, which is Ambrotosport and Firm, those three mixed together in a paste to really help subcutaneous tissue, whether it's an ankle sprain or whatever, to help heal faster, that you always wrap it with plastic wrap. And I believe in Denver, somebody came out with a statement that one of these wraps was toxic, and so stay away from it, use another. Does anyone have that information on the call today? Anyone have the clarity about that? Which plastic wrap is better than the other? Uh-huh. It has to be Glad wrap. Okay, according to Freddie, needs to be Glad wrap. And that's because of toxicity issues or something? Glad wrap. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, great. What do you mean? Oh, really? So they have on their website, they actually talk about why they're safer. Okay, good. So I suspect we should also use Glad wrap in other arenas of our wrapping our food in the refrigerator and everything else, right? Okay, people, there you hear it. Go to Glad wrap site, see what they're made of, and use Glad wrap when you're using. And Freddy's mud is used tremendously for athletic injuries. We also use Firm alone for neuropathy, for carpal tunnel, for all sorts of different conditions. So make sure you're using Glad wrap for those conditions too, instead of saran wrap. Good clarity on that. So let's pass that word on. And then the last thing I wanted to clarify is if some of you who read your information, how many of you read that FYI that comes out in your paycheck each month for your information? Okay, then some of you should have freaked out about last week's FYI. There was a statement on the back of the FYI last week that said online enrollment compliance required. Okay, did anyone read that? Did? Yeah. I know. They just throw this stuff out in the mail like it's not like it's like common sense. And I read it, and I kind of went ballistic with it myself. I shouldn't say ballistic. I just was a little irritated by what was written in it. And for those of you who haven't looked at it, go back and look at your stuff that you get in your paycheck, your check that you get from Manitech. On the back side of FYI, it talked about online enrollment compliance required. And most people who enroll people online, we've been doing it for how many years now? And what we do is we just get their information and go on our computer and enroll the person. And of course, we always laughed because they had this agreement form that you would sign on behalf of the new prospect. Everybody agree? You just click on it that you agree? Well, and of course, legally, that's impossible. You can't enter into agreement for somebody else because it's not binding on the other person. So it always kind of humored me that Manitech would allow that to happen. And apparently, they've decided that wasn't the way you should be doing it. Now, what they thought people were doing, I have no clue. But clearly, we've been signing people up and doing it that way. Their solutions that they suggest on their online enrollment compliance is that you give your new prospect your name and password. I know. I'm sorry. And so that they can examine all your checks that you've been getting over the last 10 years, and they can follow your downline, and they can mess around with your entire website. No, I think that was, when I read that, I was just a little bit appalled. Obviously being written by somebody who's not involved with Manatech, would you agree? I mean, they're obviously not doing the business, because why would you ever give your password out to anyone else, especially a brand new person that you're just signing up for the first time? So, yeah. Do you know what? You sound just like what my recommendation was that I emailed to Manatech headquarters last week. I said, you perfectly, well thought out, exactly. What you want to do, people, from this day forward, if you haven't been doing it, my suggestion for compliance is that you use the Manatech application form. We have the beautiful ones that came out and join us now, and make sure you get them to sign it. The signature at the bottom of that app is the same thing as the signature on the web page. So you, once they sign that, now you have authority to sign what's on the website for them, because they've already signed it. You already have their agreement record in place. So I'm just going to highly suggest to all of you that you go back to using the form application. You don't have to submit that to Manatech, but now you have their signature approving of all the terms and conditions of being an associate. And that's the importance of that agreement on the internet. Okay. Then you have to fax them a form and fax it back. I'm just suggesting that's the easiest way to comply with online enrollment. Because if you can sign them up that way also, if you want to do that. That's correct. You can't customize it. You want to read the entire, you're going to read the entire rules and regulations of being an associate. I'm going to suggest to you, you're going to scare them away. The second thing I'm going to suggest to you is that if they ever balk 6 months down the road, a year down the road, that they never read it, never saw it, never agreed to it, where's your proof? You get it? I think it's important that you have their signature on a piece of paper. You can say, well, Mary Jo, I know them really well. You might know one or two, but you're not going to know very many of them. So the best policy is to have it. If you have it in writing, you never have to worry about them coming back and saying, I never saw it or never read it or never agreed to it. Because it says on the bottom of the page that part of that signature is agreeing to the terms and conditions of being an Manatech associate. Okay? I don't believe so. Mm-mm. Don't believe so. Just keep it. Keep it in storage. Just put what I do is I have a 3-ring binder with all the application forms. So you just hang on a 3-ring binder that has all the application forms with anyone you've ever enrolled. Uh-huh. I wouldn't worry about it because Manatech never made a statement about it before. This is just their new online enrollment compliance required. I mean, why they didn't come out with this when they first started online enrollment is beyond my wildest. But yeah. Uh-huh. Sure, but where's your signature to prove that they agreed to it? You see where the problem, MJ? You need an email back saying, I agree. Right. That's fine. That's the same, but that's the same as a application form. You know what I mean? As long as you have a signature. Mm-hmm. Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But you'd have... But if they don't have internet capacity, how are you going to do it online with them? Yeah. Well, but then you have to read the entire agreement, and then you'd have to get something in write. I would still say, send me a note that you agreed to this, you know? It's just a tough thing, but I understand why Manatech needs it. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, meet their compliance requirements, which I find clearly needed. It's just... Mm-hmm. No, because the agreement only applies to at the time when they sign up. Yeah. It's kind of like entering into a contract 6 months after you've been working under the terms of the contract. The terms wouldn't apply. Yeah. Okay. Yep, you could do that too. But what if they read it and they just say, I don't want to agree to this. Now what do you do? Yeah. I mean, that's another possibility. What form are they actually signing, Paula? Okay. Okay, great. Perfect. Joanne, are you having them? No. Sure. Right. Well, I like the procedure of sending out a cover letter. First of all, everybody should be sending out a welcome letter. Joanne, congratulations to you for doing that. We should all be sending out congratulatory letters, welcome letters to every new associate we bring on board. I mean, that's just part of just pure consumer follow-up and retention, huge for retention purposes. And then just including it in there. I think that's a great way of doing it if you don't have the ability to get the signature in advance. At least it's very close in context to the time that they sign up. And if you tell them Manotick needs their signature on file, and just even, I would even go so far as to put a return stamped envelope in there for them to mail it back to Manotick. So you're not asking them to put forth a lot of effort. And that way, at least you're taking the steps of doing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But that's, yep. Yeah, right. Well, I think that historically Manotick did that all the, remember historically, some of you have been around for a while know that they used to mail out signature pages to everybody, remember? Yeah, and then that was always after the fact. So I think by their historical behavior, Deb, I think I would feel comfortable doing it in a follow-up welcome letter. Because Manotick is historic. Yeah. Sure, you bet, if they disagree with it, yeah. Well, you could if you didn't sign. If you refused to sign the policy and procedure and you weren't aware of it in advance, I think Manitech has to follow their own compliance rules. But then they might get irritated with the associate that was involved in the process. Yeah. But they're not clicking. Understand, they're not. I know, but understand, it's not them that's clicking. This is all about us enrolling somebody on the internet without having the other prospect there with us. When we fill out the internet forms, phone signups, they have oral agreement over the phone. Well, if you have the third party that's calling in with you, they're agreeing to it over the phone. I agree. People, that's the ones that where they send out the signature page afterwards. So that's why I'm saying, if they're going to be under a policy sending a signature page afterwards, surely we could fit within their policy or process. Get it? Yeah. But what if they just want to be a 99er? Yeah. Oh, okay, right. They could. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, John. Yeah, it just doesn't allow you placement. Right. Yeah, and then you have to come back and place it. But, right. Okay, we're getting off on other issues. But I agree with you, that's there. But a lot of people, number one, if they're not computer literate, don't have computers, a lot of people won't do that. You're creating a big hassle for people that they don't want to be hassled with. You're just happy to get them signed up. You want to get them in the system. If you tell them, here's how you do it, some people will go, I don't want to mess with the computer stuff. Why can't you do that for me? Just get me my products. I mean, so you have to be able to interface with that. You don't want to make it too cumbersome a process. Analysts will love to go and do it themselves, but the rest of the world's going to kind of balk at it. Okay, so. Yeah, I don't think it solves that problem. I think that that's going to continue to go on with people who have that ilk to do that. They're going to continue to have access to the internet and do that. It doesn't solve the problem. It just means that, you know, we're just going to be more compliant with making sure that people who do sign up have seen the terms and conditions of becoming an associate so they can be, you know, structured that way. Okay, let's go on because we got a big talk today. All right, so sure. Or does everybody have a copy of mine? I send one out with every single pack, and I'll be more than happy to share that. I'll send that out. Joanne, if you would like to forward to me on the internet a copy of your cover letter, your welcome cover letter, I will be happy to send out both. Okay, great. We'll get that out today. If you could do that, Joanne, you know, sometime between now and 12, that would be great. In Central Standard Time, it would be great so I could get that done before I take off out of town. All right, I got somebody on a fax machine or fax line. Could we get to *6? I can hardly hear you because of the interference. Uh-huh. Boy, I tell you, takes all kinds. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. We can still ask them to sign that. That's the whole thing that we were talking about, getting them to sign that and send it into the company. As long as your welcome letter tells them to do that or informs them of that, that would be a great way of also getting the signature on file. Okay? Great. Sure, it'll be out by email as soon as I get Joanne's this morning. I'll send out both of them. Okay. All right, let's jump in. I'm going to put on *5 since we got a lot of stuff static on. Okay, hang on. Okay, there we go. That ought to. quiet it down. All right, let's jump in and talk about our topic today, which is really long, and I'm going to do as much as I can with it, but it all centers on the book As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. A lot of you may have already read this book. I've read it a couple times. I don't know, something came to my mind on Saturday, and I started reading it again, and I thought, this is great stuff. And I so, you know, bear with me. I just had to share it with you because I just thought it was such tremendous information in that book. The incredible part of that book, for those of you who haven't read it yet, As a Man Thinketh, it was written by a man who passed away in 1912. And yet when you read the principles, the core principles in that book, oh my gosh, what incredible insight, what incredible knowledge he had, universal truths that just apply day in, day out, year in, year out, century, decade, you name it. I mean, really phenomenal insight and very much worthwhile reading. It also is a book that takes you about a half an hour to an hour to read. It's not a long book, so I mean, there's a lot of, you know, things that you want to concentrate on and focus on and think through and mull over. So you might take you longer, might take you a whole day to finish it from start to finish if you spend a lot of time concentrating on how it applies to your life, which I always like to do that with material I read because that allows me to retain it. But anyway, it's a great, great book, and I highly recommend it, As a Man Thinketh. And so let's go through it. And what I did is I took all the concepts from the book, and I made them as separate parts of the outline, and then I did a Manatech application in each of the areas. But the first one, just to talk about it, for the first part of the outline just talks about thought as being the core of who we are. And if we really want to see who you are, start examining the thoughts that you have, because your thoughts are really the core of who you are, of the person you are. And this is truly a universal truth. We can look back and look at all sorts of different great books. Take the Bible, for instance, Proverbs 23:7. We know that says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And again, getting into our thoughts, as we think in our heart, that's who we are. That's our beingness of who we are. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill says, "Whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve." How powerful that mind is. Brian Clemmer's book, If How-To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. Of course, he says his whole premise in his entire book is the concept of to think is to create. So how powerful is thought there? And of course, Norman Vincent Peale, I didn't put it in the outline, but he wrote the incredible book, The Power of Positive Thinking. So we see all of this, you know, and that's just a basic scintilla of what's been written on the power of positive thinking and how much our thoughts control our beings and who we are. Do we recognize how powerful the media is? I mean, once understanding how powerful your thoughts are and how they create the ever-existence of who you are, what you accomplish, the results you perform in life, now we can look back and say, wow, if our thought process is so great, now let's look at how the media is influencing that. It's the old concept of junk in, junk out, just like a computer. How much time and energy do you put into feeding our brain the wrong material? I mean, we can watch the news, we can read the newspaper, we can see all the, you know, I keep harping about this because I see so many people, they laugh, they think this Desperate Housewives is a funny show. I think it's so pathetic, I want to throw up. We're feeding so much trash. Soap operas, you know, even the movie, the sitcom, and I know some of you might really like it, and I'm not trying to offend anyone through this by any means, but even the sitcom, I remember my teenagers would watch Friends all the time. And I said, look at the moral values, or I should say the lack thereof in those kind of shows. And, you know, they would look at me, these, you know, my kids, and they go, oh, Mary Jo, it's just, you know, it's just, I don't really pay attention to it. And I go, it's impossible not to pay attention. All of that stuff influences who we are and our thought patterns. All of it is an influence in our life. So start really thoroughly examining, what are you putting in? What are you allowing in your environment to influence your thoughts? Because you are what you think. So you get it. I came to the conclusion in doing this work that I just said, you know, the food for the brain is more important than glyconutrients to the body. And I know some of you want to argue that point with me because we go out and fight every day of our life how critical it is to have glyconutrients in our bodies. But, you know, improper food to your brain will destroy the very core of who you are. Your health may be impaired by not putting glyconutrients, but your beingness of who you are as a person is much more important than even the health, even the, you know, the glyconutrients or whatever condition. I mean, it's about who you are, your beingness of who am I? who am I? What is going on in my brain? What is my thought pattern? What am I positioning myself for who I am as a person? I also throw in here from a Manitech perspective. Remember, some of you know the story about Jet. You know, he came from the ghettos of Los Angeles, and when he was like in his teens, and I don't know exactly his age, I put in the outline 16, but it was somewhere around there. He came and he read, and I'm not even sure that it's 20 times, but it was like 15 or 18 or 16 or some number of times, a multitude of number of times. He took Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and he read it over and over and over and over again. And what was he doing? He was programming his thoughts. He was getting himself to think properly, to take the right thought pattern, to overcome bad habits of his thoughts that he got from his environment, from his upbringing, overcome that by positive thoughts and creating a reality for himself through his thoughts. Because he really got it at an early age, the critical nature of his thoughts and what they would perform for him. And of course, one of the commitments he made at that young age, that he was going to be a millionaire by the time he was 21. It was just a choice he made in his life, understanding the power of what he was feeding his brain and how he was changing his thought pattern. And of course, Jet achieved that. So thought is the core of who we are. So make sure you look at what you're doing every day and what you're feeding that brain to allow those thoughts to be so powerful in your life. The first chapter in Allen's book talks about thought and character, the relationship between thought and character. A man is literally, and the quotes are right out of his book, a man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. Action is the blossom of all thought, good or bad. So in other words, our actions that we create come out of ourselves because of what we're thinking. Whether we have good thoughts or bad thoughts, our actions come out in regard to what our thoughts are. This applies both to spontaneous as well as intentional actions. So even our spontaneity, we can't look at spontaneity and say, well, I never even thought of that. Spontaneity comes from pre-existing thoughts. It comes from the core of who we are. Godlike character does not come from chance or favor. It is a result of continuous effort in proper and righteous thinking. That's how we develop good character. That's how we develop our values and we perform, because we keep concentrating and focusing and putting effort on the values that we have, the core of our beingness, and how important, you know, honesty is and integrity and you know, all the things that we value, honor, all those things that we value. It's a continuous effort for us to make sure that we have those at the forefront of acknowledging that that's who we are, and then we develop the character that we are. Just on the other hand, the same thing applies. Uncouth behavior as well is not by chance or environment. It is developed as a result of continuous harboring of groveling thoughts. So that's how we get into bad habits, bad thoughts, bad behavior, and all of a sudden our character is dependent on what our thoughts are. It's just a continuation of that thought pattern coming out in actions and behavior. Weakness is even a state of growth. So he talks about weak character. If somebody has weak character, does that mean I can't grow? Of course not. In fact, weak character is a statement of wow, what an opportunity, and becoming opportunist with weak character. For it is then when our weak character we can then search out and start digging deep within us, reflect on our own condition, and start fashioning our thoughts on more fruitful issues. So start controlling, taking back control of those thoughts so that we can be more positive and take a more conscientious approach to life. And then we will trigger different results. Conscious man, here's a good quote out of the book, conscious man discovers within himself the laws of thought, which discovery is totally a matter of application, self-analysis, and experience. So our discovery of the laws of thought, really, we look at self-analysis, experiences we have, application of our thoughts, application of principles, and that's our learning process to understand ourself and the laws of thought, why thought's so important to us, and how it's controlled in our life, things that have happened in the past, and it's going to control what happens in the future. Why do we choose not to go through self-analysis? Why do we choose not to do that? There's a lot of reasons why that happens. Self-introspection is painful. Many people look at it that way, that self-introspection is painful, because then we have to acknowledge things we've done wrong, and we tend to get the hammer out. And I suggest you don't ever look at self-introspection as painful. That's, again, it's a wrong thought. you look at self-introspection as rewarding and uplifting because you focus on the results that can be had through self-introspection. So look at the change, concentrate and focus on the change that you can affect, but you have to know where you are in order to affect that change. And so many of us want to hide from what those thoughts are or what we're concentrating on now because we want to either dismiss them or discourage them or, you know, just not acknowledge them. But if they're there, we need to acknowledge them. And it's through the awareness and acknowledgement that we can then move forward with change and create new results. Applying it to Manatech, it really looks like this. I mean, you look at like attracts like. Until we work on ourselves, what are we going to attract? So truly, we look at our character. If we have weakness in our character, we're going to attract people with weak character. So we need to do some self-analysis to the core and look at what do we need to correct in ourselves. We look at things that we think about, things that control our lives, fear, lack of confidence, problem with self-esteem, all these things that impact us, rejection, all this stuff that we let thoughts that dwell in, within us. And what happens is that becomes our character. And then what are we going to attract? We're going to attract people that have similar character because like attracts like. A law of the universe that like attracts like. So important for us to work on ourselves, work on our beingness, work on our own thoughts, to cleanse those thoughts, to take a new approach so that we can attract people of that character that we would likewise like to surround ourselves with. The second chapter in his book, he talks about effective thought on circumstances, because some of us believe circumstances are just things we have no control over. Well, wow, what a new awakening that is. As character can only manifest and discover itself through environment and circumstance, the outer conditions of a person's life will always be harmoniously related to his inner self. Huge statement. Really dwell on that one. It's a great concept. It's about how we create our outer self, our outer environment, our outer circumstances by what we have inner from our inner self. Some people take the position man is dictated to by his circumstances. Many of us try to believe that. But what it does when you start saying things like that is you become victim. You walk away from taking responsibility. But if you have freedom in your life, if you truly have freedom, freedom comes from responsibility, whether we care to acknowledge it or not. With freedom comes responsibility. With freedom comes responsibility. So stay out of the victim responsible. Don't go into victim to your circumstances. Acknowledge the ability that you have master of your own choices and you can create your own circumstances. So you need to choose from responsible so you don't remain in a state of confusion or allowing outside events to control you. Recognize the creative powers within you that allow you to become a master of yourself. Very important to stay away from that victim mentality. It's not circumstances that create you, it's you are the creative power. You in yourself are the creative power. We're always anxious to work on improving circumstances, but we're unwilling to work on ourselves. Wow, that's a huge statement too. We want to always work on improving circumstances. And how does that, what does that look like? In Manatech application, we want to improve our circumstances. So a lot of times we surround ourselves with different mechanisms. I like to look at it like this. Here's a great application of it. I think that a lot of times in Manatech, we always search for that silver bullet. You ever guys, you know that? Somebody comes out with a new system, whether it's, you know, the Rega Bauer's treasure hunter, it's the golden key system by Altvader, or it's the, you know, Mark Thiel's new system right now, that's the hottest thing out there, or it's the Marshall Howard's free wellness for life. And every time a new system comes out, we jump on the bandwagon. What are we changing? We're changing our circumstances. We're changing a mechanism around us. We're changing that. But the reality is if we're not willing to work on ourselves, that's not going to make any difference in our lives. So some of you have paged through 20 different mechanisms and different circumstances you've set up in your life, but nothing changes in terms of results. We stay stuck because, again, we're anxious to improve circumstances but unwilling to work on yourself. Another quote I liked out of the book, too, talks about that man imagines that thought can remain secret. Many times we have these secret thoughts. We have these things that go on in our head and we go, oh, no one's ever going to know what I'm thinking about. Well, that's so false because thought turns into habit and habit solidifies into circumstance. So we actually create it. So it may look like today somebody doesn't know what you're thinking, but eventually that thought's going to manifest itself in some circumstances we create. So look at that in that regard. Thoughts of fear, rejection, confusion, and indecision. All of us go through some of that from time to time and we need to overcome it. fear. You know, we have fear of rejection, fear of, you know, all sorts of fears enter our lives as we go out and approach new people. You know, we think it's so important that everybody likes us, so we sacrifice our values to be liked, and we have fears around approaching somebody new because they might reject us, or they might not have respect for us, or we might lose, they might get to know us, and we don't want people to get to know us because then they'll think less of us. Or we have all this stuff that we carry, this baggage we carry around. We carry around confusion. A lot of us operate Manitech out of confusion. We get confusion around the compensation plan, and then it's somebody else's fault that they didn't train it right or didn't teach it right. So we want to blame it on somebody else. So we stay in the state of confusion around it because that somehow justifies or rationalizes for us our existence or our lack of progression or lack of moving forward. And all of these things, fear, rejection, confusion, indecision, what they will do, they're all thoughts that we have, and they'll crystallize into habits, right? But the habits crystallize into are weak habits. They're irresolute habits. They're habits like procrastination, the feeling I can't so you don't, the rationalizing habit, the lack of discipline, developing habits of lack of discipline, knowing what works and not doing it, just not even moving, freezing ourselves, stop sharing because we second-guess people. These are all habits that we develop in Manitech, coming out of our thoughts of fear, rejection, confusion, and indecision. And of course, those habits then produce what? The circumstances of failure and indigence. I mean, we create our own failure. We create our own circumstances by bad thoughts, weak thoughts, creating bad habits, which then result in failure and indigence. We try to change circumstances and work on that instead of working on ourselves. So the steps to take are, of course, one of my favorites is, and this doesn't come out of the book by any means, is get rid of stinking thinking. I mean, I think there's a great rule to that. Get rid of it. Get rid of accusing others and events as the cause of your condition. Get out of victim to other people and other events. Don't go victim to the comp plan or go victim to your upline or go victim to you know, somebody's system. Just step into it. Instead of get rid of kicking circumstances, getting irritated with circumstances, and begin to use them to move forward in your progress. In other words, use a circumstance to help you shift and move directions to create something better the next time. Start building strong and admirable thoughts. And one of the main ways of doing that is affirmations. It's a great place to start where you draft affirmations, positive affirmations. A great place to start. One of the things that in class one in my pathway to presidential, I teach affirmations. Why? Because I truly understand the incredible power of thought. And if I can't help people displace bad thoughts with good thoughts, then it doesn't matter how many how-tos I give them, they're never going to progress because their thoughts are going to become their reality. So we need to replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts. We need to get rid of those things that are controlling us and keeping us, holding us back. So a lesson, a man cannot directly choose your circumstances, but he can choose his thoughts, which again, indirectly will shape the circumstances in his life. So we can't directly choose circumstances, but indirectly we do, because we choose our own thoughts. We have a choice around our thoughts. And you can say, well, Mary Jo, I really don't. I have these thoughts that come up. Well, what's triggering the thoughts? You can develop habits to stop those thoughts. You can be awareness as your first step into starting to make that change. So thought creates circumstances. Number four on the outline, effective thought on health and body. The body is just the servant of the mind. If you have fear, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness, it impacts your body, depleting the immune system and thus leading to disease. 80% of the healing process begins with just the belief in and of itself that you can get well. So just believing you can get well, that's the power of thought, is so crucial. In fact, we always do that when we work with patients. I just got done with a patient that about a month ago that we worked with who had cancer, a young gal who was 19 years old. I believe she was from Victoria, Texas, and she had cancer, serious, third or fourth stage cancer in her, I think it was up by her throat in that area. It wasn't esophageal cancer, but it was in the cancerous tumor up in her by her neck. And tremendous that this 19-year-old, and we met with her, and one of the big things that one of my people in my organization, Sarah Bush, a great healer, kept emphasizing with her is, what are you going to be doing a year from now? We concentrated her thoughts on what she's going to be doing a year from now, keeping the focus on healing and being well. 12 months from now, I'm going to be well. And at the time, I remember telling her, I said, you know, a year from now, you come to Dallas and I'll let you use my sports car and go drive around for a day in my car. Well, since then I got rid of my car and I now drive an SUV, which isn't very exciting, but it's much more practical. Anyway, so the neat thing that I did was when I found out, you know, about 3 months ago, I wrote her a letter and I just said, I sent her, and this is a year later, I sent her a check for $500. And I said, I want you to go on a shopping spree and treat yourself to the best clothes that you ever wanted to buy. And what a thank you note I got back. And it was just a process of following up with somebody that we touched her life to think about what her life was going to be like. The power of thought, the power of positive thought, of believing you're going to get well. And there are great materials out there, there are great books out there that support all of this about healing is so much part, psychological is a huge percentage of your whole healing process. And to think that James Allen, almost 100 years ago, had the same conclusion writing in his book about how important it is to stay away from fear, anxiety, anger, unforgiveness. And of course, unforgiveness is a tremendous, you know, you look through the Bible and all it does is tell you the sin of unforgiveness. I mean, it's an incredible biblical principle that we stay away from unforgiveness. And yet people everywhere continue to hold unforgiveness in their lives. And all it is a self-destructive principle. You're just destroying yourself. It's not about the other person, but it's about somehow you have to be right. You have to feel like you're right. It usually is run by that program in your life that you have to be right. That's why you carry the unforgiveness, because you feel why should you forgive them? They were wrong, and you need to be right. But you don't understand the harboring of that unforgiveness is at the base of destroying you. It destroys your attitude, your ability to move forward. It destroys your health. It eats away at you, and it's sinful, truly sinful. So it's important for us to avoid those positions in our life. So the effect of thought on health and body. Manitech application, of course, is to, when you're working with people out there, and I work with them all the time, and as do you, when you get people started on the products, I always get them to believe they can get well. I work with them on their belief system. In fact, there's one woman, I talked to her, she was on like 8 different prescription drugs, and she looked at me, she goes, Mary Jo, I'll never get off these drugs. And I said, well, you know, Susan, I can't work with you unless you believe that you can. Because truly, your belief that you'll never get off the drugs will cause you never to get off these drugs. So I'm not telling you that you believe they'll all be out of your life 12 months from now, but I want to open the possibility with you that, do you think it's possible? You're coming from probability. I want to talk about possibility. Do you think it's possible that a year from now you could get off one or two of those drugs? Is that a possibility for you? And in almost everyone you work with, if you come from that arena, they're going to finally agree with you. And that's where you want, that's your starting point. But if somebody truly tells you, I will never get off these drugs, I'm going to suggest to you that's a very hard person for you to work with. And you're going to wonder why you fail with that person and why they're not taking the Manitech products 3 months from now or 6 months from now. Because their belief system was so wrought in the wrong direction that they were going to always fail to move forward. So part of our process should be up front working with prospects that we help change their belief system. So that if we can correct the power of that positive thought and put it in the right direction, now we have a much greater possibility, not only getting off drugs, but the possibility that they're going to see a difference. Because people who believe that they're not going to get well, a month later, they're not going to even acknowledge the 3 things or 5 things that are different in their health. They're not even going to acknowledge it because their belief system's so entrenched that they are their disease. So, you know, work on that and work on, and the same, I can take the application. You know, that's health and body, but we can also take it to, you know, believing whether you're going to be successful in Manitech. If you don't correct their belief system in that, they're never going to be there either. But this is about the health and body, and it's about working with prospects. It truly is about getting them to believe properly, and that's going to help you have a much higher success rate in terms of working with people and bringing them to health. Thought and purpose was the 4th chapter. Here's a quote from that chapter. Until thought is linked with purpose, there is not intelligent accomplishment. Wow. Great. I just love all of his material. It's so good. It is so terrific. Until thought is linked with purpose. What is he saying here? He's saying until you have a purpose and you work towards that purpose, all of your actions become unintelligent accomplishments. They become a spurious flurry of activities that never lead to anything that is of any meaning to you in your life. So truly, it's aimlessness. If we have aimlessness or lack of direction, lack of purpose, lack of vision, you're going to get exactly there, to a place of no purpose, no vision, no true acknowledgement, no true accomplishment. You're going to live your life in meandering generalities, which is a choice you can make. A lot of people choose that. When you look at them and they say, what is your purpose? What is your vision? What is your legacy you want to leave? And people say, I don't know. And they're going to create exactly that. So our thoughts have to be in a direction. They need to be patterned. There need to be a plan. You can't just have thoughts pointing out in 25 different directions. Otherwise, you're going to be so scattered, and you're going to, again, create meandering generalities. You're going to be living in meandering generalities. You'll bring on catastrophe and destruction, as James Allen says. So you need to find, you need to dig, you need to find the desire of your heart, a purpose. Mentally work out a plan and put it on paper. Get a direction for what that, how that purpose is going to be achieved in your life. You may not even be able to conceptualize it today, but you can start. You start with something small. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. But you've got to have the elephant. You've got to have the purpose. You've got to have the concept. You're going to eat the whole elephant down first, because then the plans, then the mechanisms start appearing. And then you can start building that plan. And the plan doesn't have to be totally in concrete. It's a plan. Can a plan vary? At the end of the year, you can look back and say, wow, my plan didn't work quite like I thought. Let's make some adjustments. Let's tweak it. But without a plan, you're going to be aimless. You're going to be undirected, misdirected, and you're not going to get anywhere. So it's important that you need to quit beating your head against the door again and again and start growing and doing it in a planned format. And for Manatech, the application is real clear. A lot of you already know this. The why. Why am I in this business? Why am I doing this business? What's my purpose for doing the Manatech business? If you don't know your why, you won't know your way. And you won't find your way. And you'll stop the way. And that's one of the first things I do too in training. When I first train people, brand new people, it's about drawing that sound wave that starts with huge vibrations and then narrows down to, it dissipates, just like a sound wave does from a distance. The sound finally dissipates. So we have highs and lows in our business, but if we don't know the why, we're not going to stay with the lows. We can deal with the highs, but we're not going to stay with the lows. We'll quit. That's what causes people to quit. They don't know the why. They don't know the end result. They don't know their legacy. They don't know their purpose. So their thought patterns can't be triggered and directed towards the final end result. The thoughts are based on what happens today, this hour, this minute. And if it doesn't work, then it's not going to work and we abandon ship, instead of having the thoughts be concentrating and focusing on what the end result is, which truly is what will drive us. Now those thoughts will be incredible. They'll create, they'll knock down mountains. They will create whatever you put in your head. Remember, going back to Napoleon Hill, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. But you have to be able to have that purpose on mind. You have to be on track, on a purposeful track. The fifth chapter talks about thought factor. It's a factor in achievement. All that a man achieves and all that he fails to achieve is a direct result of his own thoughts. Wow. Boy, some of us can even go back and just look at Cancun. Take the analysis. How many made commitments to win the Cancun trip and didn't win? Of course, you still have a week left, so you can still step into that. But I'm going to suggest that it was thoughts. More than suggest, I'm going to state that it was your thoughts. It was your thoughts about winning Cancun. The thought somehow crept in, you couldn't do it. The fear, the frustration, it's not going to work. It's too big. I can't get that many people. That creeps in your life, and all of a sudden, your failure to achieve it is a direct result of your thoughts. Yet if day one, you kicked off and said, I'm going to win this trip, I totally committed. And you never let that thought vary. You didn't let the creeping thoughts of fear and inability and can't do it, or you didn't, none of that. Every time it appeared, you quash it. Non-existence. I can, and not only can, but will win the trip to Cancun. Our thoughts are so powerful. All that a man achieves and that he fails to achieve is a direct result of his own thoughts. A man's weaknesses and strength are his own. They are brought about by the man himself, not by another. They also cannot be helped by another unless the man be willing himself. So, wow, this is a huge awareness for some of you. No one can change him. You can't change another person. He can only choose to change himself. In order to rise to another level, you must raise your level of thoughts. So by the aid of self-control, resolution, purity, righteousness, and well-directed thought, a man ascends. By the aid of animality, indolence, impurity, corruption, and confusion of thought, a man descends. So it's by choice. Are we choosing self-control, resolution, righteousness, purity? Are we choosing well-directed thought, or are we choosing confusion? Are we choosing impurity? What are our choices we're making? That's how we're choosing. Whether we pull ourselves out of weakness and add strengths. In the Manatech application, we find people who we try desperately to fit a square peg in a round hole. We try to change the person. We know they'd be our best business builder if we could just change them, if we could just cause them to change here, and we can make them this way or that way. But the problem is, so many times we want it more than they want it. Do you ever have that with associates in your downline? You want it more than they do. Guess what? It'll never work. It'll never work. You can't want something more than somebody else wants it. I make the application to Christianity too. You can want somebody to become a Christian, but if you want it more than they want it, it won't work. They've got to want it. It's got to come from within. It's got to be within their own thoughts. Because it is them that need to make the choice, not you. You can't choose for somebody. Another reason why goal setting. Don't set somebody else's goals for them. Have them set their own goals. It's got to be their thoughts. It's got to be their commitments. It's got to be their intent, not yours, or it won't ever work. So how do you find out how committed somebody is? What are their thoughts? You put accountability requirements up. People can talk a good talk. But then you say, okay, if you were going to do this, let's do this. We'll do coaching. And every week you turn in your war planner, or you turn in your DAT, your daily action tracker, or whatever document you like to use. I use all sorts in my coaching programs. When somebody doesn't turn in their planner, they get no coaching call. Why? Because it's accountability. I can't want it more than they want it. The reality is there. They have to want it. So you can do that too. Accountability is crucial. In the last two chapters of the book, because we don't have a lot of time, Vision and Ideals, they talk about the dreamers are the saviors of the world. He who cherishes a beautiful vision, a lofty ideal in his heart, will one day realize it. The thoughtless and the ignorant see only the apparent effects of things and not the things themselves. They talk of luck and fortune and chance. Get rid of those thoughts. So many of us like to look at somebody and say, oh, he's so lucky he got the presidential. He was lucky he found this person. He was lucky. Get rid of those thoughts. It's not about luck and fortune and chance. You dream about things, and the reality is you put the dreams in place, you drive the purpose, you put a plan in place, and you affect the results because you focus and you have clarity, and your thoughts are so powerful. Get your people to dream again. How do you get your people to dream again? Concentrate on good thoughts and focus and get directed towards those dreams. Refocus. We need to dream again in this world. We've lost that because so many people spend so much time just concentrating on getting enough money to put enough food on the table. They can't even conceptualize dreaming. It's time for us to step in and open that possibility in people's lives. Don't live from probabilities, live from possibilities. And open that. Dream boards are an excellent tool. I love doing them. It's part of my pathway class. I have people do dream boards. Why? Because visualization is a powerful. Visualization becomes powerful. What reason? Because when you look at something and you visualize it, it becomes part of your thoughts. It changes your thoughts. It makes you believe. It brings back belief systems. It puts the thoughts in your head of having that piano or having that trip or owning that home or owning that car, whatever that's on that dream board. It changes your thoughts. That's why dream boards are so important. Visualization is a huge tool. And the last chapter of the book talks about serenity. It talks about calmness. The quote comes, calmness of mind is one of the beautiful jewels of wisdom. It is the result of long and patient effort in self-control. Maintaining calmness. Where are you on this issue? Good place to do some self-analysis. Is my life calm, or do I cause panic? Do I create anxiety? Do I create anxiousness everywhere in my life? What is that all about? Why am I doing that? And what am I creating for my offspring? If that's how I live my life, that's how I guarantee your offspring are going to live their lives, because you create their reality for them. They only learn from you. That's their example, and that those are the programs that will run their lives. So calmness, serenity is where we want to come from. It's a great position because it's a position of incredible attraction. People are attracted to people who are calm. They're not attracted to people who are crazy, off the charts, anxietous, panicked, all the things that we see that create all that in our life. It doesn't mean you can't be high energy. Don't misunderstand that. Calm people can also have high energy, but they don't have anger and they don't have the wild flip-flop emotions that go around that. They come from joy, calmness and joy. Okay. Back open for comments. Do we have any comments from anybody who, any of these? Okay. Uh-huh, great. Great. You bet. Great. Anyone else? Yep, I'll be here. You can give me a call. Good. Anyone else? Which the book that we went over today? It's called As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. Yes. In fact, any bookstore, this book has been published since early 1900s. Yeah, right. It's a great book. James,